Yeah, sorry about that. All right, let's get this started. Proverbs 29, we're going to be reading pretty soon. I'm going to put on some music, I'll have people join us live, and we'll see you soon. Okay.
Before the earth was made, wisdom stood tall, knowing every step through the rise and the fall. In the pages of Proverbs, secrets unfold, revealing a treasure more precious than gold. Yeah, wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise, it takes wisdom to get paid, to walk the right way, to make the right choices every single day. From the dawn of creation to the hustle and grind, proverbs light the path for a clear state of mind. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Shut your lips like a vice. Show people you're wise. Get wise. Open your eyes. Read a chapter every day. You'll realize. Guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise. It's no surprise. A proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise. In every verse, there's a lesson to learn. A spark of truth. In every turn, so take a moment, let the word sink in. With every chapter, let the journey. Let preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise. A proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise. So grab a new version of the book. Every month, a whole new look. Reading a chapter every day. Let the words of wisdom show you the way.
All right, let's do this. All right, welcome everybody to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ. Glad to be with you here yet again. Proverbs 29 today. We are almost through the month. Even though it's February 26th, we're doing Proverbs 29. Don't panic. It's okay. We'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning. But as always, let me pray for you real quick and then we'll get started. Father God, we honor and praise you for another day. And we give you thanks for your wisdom that you've put on the pages of our hearts throughout the years and that still guide us yet today. And we do praise and honor you for that that mechanism. And this morning, Father, we do pray that you would open our hearts to what we need to be feeling, open our minds to what we need to be learning, help us absorb what you have for us today. Remove any distractions, remove any thoughts of regrets or worries about tomorrow, or even worries about today, Father. I see you just remove those and replace them with a fear of only you and a reverence that is reserved completely for you in wisdom. We give you thanks and honor for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
It's time for
reading the whole chapter.
All right, Proverbs 29. Here we go. One who becomes stiff-necked after many reprimands will be shattered instantly beyond recovery. Ouch. But I mean, stiff-necks after many reprimands, I mean, that's kind of to be expected, right? When the righteous flourish, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but one who consorts with prostitutes destroys his wealth. Again, one of those, it needed to be said. There it is. By justice, a king brings stability to a land, but a man who demands contributions demolishes it. Footnote here, the Hebrew word for contributions usually refers to offerings in worship. So, in other words, that is above and beyond just taxes and things like that. That is stealing away from things that are meant for worship. That's a huge no-no. Verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet, or is smooth on his neighbor, spreads a net for his feet. An evil man is caught by sin, but the righteous one sings and rejoices. This notion that, and granted it was kind of like a 1970s thing, that sinners have more fun, that sort of thing. Well, that's not proving out to be true, is it? But people who live in righteousness have a consistent pattern. They have the consistency to their joy. Do that. Living in the moment just doesn't work. There's far too many moments. And they won't all be like that. Verse 7, the righteous person knows the rights of the poor, or the justice of the poor, but the wicked one does not understand these concerns. Mockers inflame a city, but the wise turn away anger. If a wise man goes to court with a fool, there will be ranting and raving, but no resolution. Or rest. Okay. And goes to court with a fool. I think this is kind of implying that it's, once again, it's better to think proactively in these kind of situations, trying to avoid a situation where you're going to court with a fool, because it's just going to be a nightmare. And so the idea here is that you're doing what you can to avoid these situations, and not saying, well, I'll see you in court. You know, trying to resolve it by other means first is how to avoid that. Verse 10, bloodthirsty men hate an honest person, but the upright care about him. Seek the life of the upright. Okay. What's going on here? Okay. I didn't turn off all my distractions, and I thought I did. Getting messages. I don't want them. My bad. Okay. Bloodthirsty men had an honest person, the upright care about him. Seek the life of the upright. Okay. Yeah. Back in track. Okay. Here we go. Verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check. Full vent to his anger, full vent to his spirit. Again, another actionable thing here. Because, I mean, yeah, we are... We're just living in that world that, again, I was noting this to a group of men yesterday, actually, that we really are in a training program for this stuff. And it's really, we're being trained to respond in a kind of like a binary kind of way. It's either you're for us or against us. And then there's no in betweens with that. It's just either you agree with us or you're evil. That sort of thing. There's no middle grounds here anymore, which is ironic given how much people talk about their truth and how a fool does that. But at the same time, you're required to agree with them. And so they will just give full vent to that anger and just be, in other words, they're full on about it. They're just going to just talk your ear off about it and call you every name under the book if you disagree. But wisdom holds that all in check and says, okay, wait, I don't need to respond to this. There's nothing gained by responding to it. Let's just not. Okay. Let's just let them just blah, 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 blah. Verse 12, if a ruler listens to lies, all his officials will be wicked. Again, that comes back to that having wise counsel and being subject to their words. Verse 13, the poor and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. Or this is where the oppressor and the oppressed meet. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. A king who judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever. Now, see here, there's a connection between these two. So it's saying that God has given the same rays of sunshine, same physics, same creation. Everything is the same. There's no difference in what they have. And so a king needs to be someone who's judging the same way. It needs to be within the same level of fairness and that sort of thing. That's really important. To not oppress and not, you know, allow them to just get away with everything because they're poor. And it doesn't work that way. You know, that's, we have justice. We have a system of wisdom. This all works together. Verse 15, a rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. Or a youth sent away, interesting. A youth sent away is a disgrace to his mother. That's interesting given how many stories you hear about that exact thing happening, but I don't know. Verse 16, when the wicked increase, rebellion increases, but the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your son, and it will bring you peace of mind, give you delight. Okay. Let's take a moment. Take a beat. Have a seat. Calm your rage. The delight is not from the discipline. Okay, you're not delighting in the discipline. It's a result of having a son who is disciplined and is raised well. Just calm in the waters now. Just making sure nobody's freaking out. Just saying, see, the Bible says you should be abusive and be happy about being abusive. No, it does not say that at all. Quite the opposite. It's saying that is a method of having a good household and a, raising a good adult. But I mean, it's that it'll bring you peace of mind that it's easy to skip, but please don't. I actually don't know anyone that would genuinely actually enjoy discipline. It's a painful process. I think that's why it gets avoided. It's unequally hard on the parents sometimes. All right. But yeah, keep that in mind. Verse 18, without revelation, the people run wild, or vision. But one who listens to instruction will be happy. And again, this is related to the one above it. Without revelation, without vision, the people run wild. Or I think some versions might actually say perish. But one who listens to instruction will be happy. In other words, discipline and the embracing of that the godly instruction is a lifetime thing. It's not just when you're a child. A slave cannot be disciplined by words. Though he understands, he doesn't respond. Okay, here we go again. All right, so I have a take on this that I know is not popular. We get triggered by words these days and that sort of thing. But as I often do, I go kind of forward a bit to the parable of talents, where we have four characters. We'll do it on this end. We have obviously the master who has these servants, right? But then we see him give talents or bags of gold or just a lot of many years worth of wages to these servants to care for while he's away for an undetermined amount of time. And we have three characters that did get these bags of gold, these talents. One is given five because he knows that that's something that he can handle that level of responsibility and that he'll manage that well. We call that a steward. The second one is someone who is capable but is not really a manager of resources. They are just somebody who can multiply talents, and that's a servant. And the third servant gets one because, frankly, he knows in advance like what's going to happen here, but he's trying to give him a chance. But he knows that this person basically has a slave mindset. So that's what I want you to see here in verse 19, that a slave can't be disciplined by words. Though he understands, he doesn't respond. I might say that a different way to you. If you have a slave mindset, if you have a mindset that is only on labor, if you have a mindset that is only that things are being taken from you and not ever available for you, if you think that the rich are rich because they steal from others and there cannot be any other explanation of how that came to be, if all these things enter your head, you're in danger here, you know. And while you have that in your head, discipline is not going to work. You may even understand fully, but that won't be in your heart. It won't be in there. It won't be ready to be received. It won't be possible for you to achieve anything beyond just existence. Because you have that in your heart. And so if that's you today, I'm going to challenge you to deal with that, to deal with those notions and realize that God doesn't want you to be a slave. God doesn't want you to be a slave. He wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's his desire here. But if you are in that slave mentality, you've got to deal with that first. Got to deal with that first. Otherwise, none of that discipline is going to work on you. Verse 20, and likewise, by the way, that others cannot be disciplined by the servant or the steward. It's not really their it was never their place. You know, they weren't called to call that slave out for his misbehavior and his idiotic, undisciplined nature. He just buried it in the ground and did so with defiance. You know, they were not called to do that. The master was. So just as a notion there. Verse 20, do you see a man who speaks too soon? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And this goes back to right here. Verse 21. Now you're starting to see what I'm talking about, I hope. Verse 21, a slave pampered from his youth will become arrogant later on. Or obscure later on. But now, do you see that in a different way? Has that come alive in a different way for you now? Where you see that this is not just someone, not necessarily someone who is brought in apart from their will, but is someone that has this mindset. An angry man stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered man increases rebellion. Or a master of rage. Wow. A person, 23, a person's pride will humble him, but a humble spirit will gain honor. To be a thief's partner is to hate oneself. He hears the curse, but will not testify. Footnote here is, when a call for witnesses was made public, anyone with information who did not submit his testimony was under a curse. Wow. Alrighty then. Ah, yes. The fear of man is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected or raised high. Let's go ahead and highlight that one, shall we? Our fear-based culture. Verse 26. Many seek a ruler's favor, but a man receives justice from the Lord. An unjust man is detestable to the righteous, and the one whose way is upright is detestable to the wicked. It's pretty good stuff today. Good to be with you. Glad you stuck around with me. I was going to say something. Oh, yes. As I close out here, tomorrow, if you are a YouTube subscriber, you should be able to access the lesson pretty much anytime after around midnight. I will still go live on Facebook, but yeah, I've got a thing literally starting at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow. So I will be just after this, recording this and releasing it for you. So if you're on YouTube, you can get access early and go ahead and go through the lesson, and hopefully it'll bring you some favor as well. So in the meantime, I will obviously I'll quote unquote see you tomorrow, but be blessed by the best, and then go be a blessing to all the rest. Love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.